Hello, Sylvia here. A book has just been written called Judy, A Dog in a Million, about an English pointer who served on a gunboat on the Yangtze River. As the admiral gave orders for practice manoeuvres, Judy began to bark loudly, despite the men trying to quieten her. A few days before, she'd saved the crew from a nighttime attack by pirate ships by barking, but no one could understand why she was barking now. And the admiral was getting annoyed when suddenly a Japanese warplane sped out of the apparently empty skies towards the ship, but it merely swooped low overhead, then disappeared. It was 1936, before Japan had engaged with British or Allied vessels. In 1939, the crew transferred to HMS Grasshopper, and Judy went too. When Japanese bombers attacked Singapore in 1941, Grasshopper evacuated thousands of civilians, and the next day Judy suddenly sat bolt upright, ears pricked forward, eyes glued on the horizon. She raced to the bridge, barking, and then gave a long series of fierce bark. And the captain ordered the men to battle stations, and a tiny speck, inaudible to human ears, appeared. But this was no single reconnaissance plan. A huge group of 100 bombers appeared. Unfortunately, one bomb landed on the rear mess deck and exploded, and the lifeboats were launched. Crews and passengers landed safely on one of Singapore's uninhabited islands. Supplies were rafted to the shore, and although there was enough food to last a few days, there appeared to be no source of water on the island. Judy became fixated on one patch of sand and whined and pawed at it, barking, and then she began to dig. Soon a stream of clear water bubbled up from below. Regrettably, the Dutch vessel that picked up the castaways and delivered them to Sumatra, which was under Japanese occupation, everyone, including Judy, became a prisoner of war. And she became a talisman for the 1,000 prisoners. The camp's cobbler fed her on scraps of leather, and she and her human prisoners were suffering badly for lack of food. Some men managed to steal a bag of rice and roll it up in a mattress stuffed beneath a sleeping platform. Next day, two guards appeared to make a surprise inspection, and the men were frightened as discovery of the theft could well lead to decapitation. The men had always believed that Judy seemed to sense every human emotion, and as the guards moved systematically down the hut and appeared to be poised to reach under the sleeping platform, Judy raced into the hut with a human skull in her mouth. The Japanese had a fear of anything to do with death, skeletons, bones, graves or skulls. The men feared the guards would shoot Judy, but she must have sensed it too, as she turned and raced out, still clutching the skull, followed swiftly by the guards. A leading air craftsman put his life on the line by asking for Judy to be put on the official prisoner of war list and entitled to her own rations. In July 1944, the prisoners were moved back to Sumatra to work as slave labour on the railroad, and the men found her presence a great comfort, although as the railway guards had already eaten any available animals, including dogs, she was in constant danger. In May 1945, the prisoners heard that the war in Europe was over, and the following month they were given orders to dig air raid shelters for the camps. But as they were long, shallow troughs with no roofs, the prisoners suspected they were in fact mass graves. Finally, after a lot of alarms and excursions, and arriving back in Britain, Judy became famous as the dog who'd survived the Hell Railway. She became an official mascot of the RAF and was awarded the Dickin Medal, known as the Animal VC. Her citation stated, "For magnificent courage and endurance in Japanese prison camps, which helped maintain morale among her fellow prisoners, and also for saving many lives through her intelligence and watchfulness. In 1947, Frank Williams emigrated to Tanzania and took Judy with him, where she died 3 years later, in 1950, aged 14. She was buried wrapped in a Royal Air Force jacket. Bye for now.